Imagine this. A young man sits at his kitchen table late in the evening. The wedding invitations have already been chosen. He's been working extra hours trying to save. Hopefully they can buy a new home sometime. He's tired, but he's excited. His future feels stable, predictable, good. His phone buzzes. It's his fiance. He answers with that familiar warmth and an excited tone in his voice, expecting to hear about some small detail of the day, maybe about the caterer or the florist. But her voice is different. It's trembling. Can we talk for a minute? There's a long pause. Too long. His stomach tightens. A thousand fears rush in. But none of them prepares him for what he finally says. She finally says, "I'm pregnant." Time stops. He can hear his own heartbeat louder than her voice. His fingers go numb around the phone. "I don't understand. We've been honoring God with our relationship, his plans, his expectations, his sense of control. Everything he knew is gone." And she keeps talking, trying to explain, trying to spill the story, but he can't even process the words. All he can feel is a storm inside, confusion, hurt, fear, anger, disappointment. How could this happen? What does this mean for us? What will people think? What am I supposed to do now? He doesn't yell. He doesn't slam down the phone. But the silence between them is heavy. What happens next? Well, if you haven't picked up on it yet, this story is a parallel to when Joseph learned the news that Mary was pregnant with Jesus. Can we find ourselves today in the narrative? Can we find ourselves in the story of what was going on at that time? Can we ask ourselves, how would we respond? How would we respond if we were faced with something like Joseph was faced in this situation? Well, let's turn to Matthew 1 and verses 18 to 25, and let's see how Matthew recorded this. This is found in page 783 in the Bibles at your seats. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until after she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Well, it can be easy for us to read this story. This is a story many of us have heard every year at Christmas time, especially. And it can be easy to just kind of gloss over everything that's going on in the story, because Matthew doesn't include every detail about Joseph's reactions and what he was going through. But I would suspect that it was somewhat like the story I opened with. Joseph it says, I mean, I believe that Joseph was a man of high integrity, because Matthew, he says that Joseph was faithful to the law. And I also believe that Joseph truly loved Mary, because why else would he want to be discreet and save her from public shame in this kind of situation? But Matthew does record how Joseph was feeling. I imagine it was like what we read before. He was feeling, would have been feeling hurt, anger, disappointment, confusion. And I also imagine that he would have felt surprised, because what the Bible has recorded about Mary would have said that this would have been very out of character for her. And so Joseph would have experienced that surprise as well. Joseph's world was turned upside down. But here's the thing about Joseph and the story. The story is not actually about how Joseph feels. This story is about how Joseph responds. And how he responds is with unconditional love. What God asked of Joseph was to love Mary unconditionally. God asked him to love Mary unconditionally, and Joseph made room in his life for that kind of love. So, what can we learn from this story about unconditional love? Can we make room in our lives for the kind of unconditional love that Joseph offered to Mary and baby Jesus? So the first thing that I see in this story that we can learn about unconditional love is that unconditional love is not convenient. Matthew tells us of how an angel came to Jesus in a dream and explained everything that was going on and what was going to happen. And so he knew now that Mary had been faithful. And he knew, though, also that by agreeing to take her home as his wife, that he was going to be opening himself up to public ridicule. In their culture, for him to take Mary home as his wife when she was already with child was to bring all of the ridicule and the shame that would have gone along with that in their culture onto himself. But Joseph chose to do it anyway. I also believe that this wasn't really Joseph's plan. I mean, I don't think it was probably Joseph or Mary's plan. They were probably thinking they would live a nice, quiet Hebrew life, making cabinets and raising kids, you know, all the while being faithful to God's law. But that wasn't the plan that God asked of Joseph and Mary. What God asked of them was to lay this quiet life aside. What God asked them was to give up the control of their destiny for an unknown future. Unconditional love wasn't convenient for Joseph or Mary, and it's still not convenient for us today. Many times if we're asked to do something, it's not convenient. Well, a couple years ago, I preached a sermon called Are You Ready for the Messy? And this was to highlight the fact that when we love the way God asks us to, it's not always wrapped up in a neat little package. And to represent this, my sister Cindy started this tree mosaic and you all filled it in with broken, messy pieces. What I ask of you was to write names on the back of the pieces of people you wanted to share the love of God with, and then to glue them on. And so you all took the task, you wrote names on, and you glued them on to complete the tree. The mosaic's still hanging back in the lobby, and it serves as a reminder that when we offer this kind of love, the kind of love that God calls us to, it's not always convenient, it's messy, it's broken, but it's also a reminder that when all the broken, messy pieces come together, it creates something beautiful. Well, Jesus didn't let convenience stand in his way either from loving us unconditionally. It says in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8, it says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness, he found himself in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus gave up all the convenience of being in heaven, of being God, to take on the form of man and come to love us and to die for us. The second thing I see in this story is that unconditional love is powered from above. Unconditional love is powered from above. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife." Joseph had an angel come and give him instructions. He had an encounter with the angel. Last week, Pastor Tim talked about encounters. Joseph had a really powerful encounter. Most of us will never have an angel come to us and give us instructions. Maybe some of you have, maybe some of you will, but it's not something that happens really often. But we have something that Joseph didn't have at the time. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the very Spirit of God living in each one of us to guide us and instruct us daily. And the Holy Spirit will give us what we need when we're asked to do something. Joseph was asked to do something big, but he didn't, you know, God didn't ask him and let him do it on his own strength. And it's the same for us. The Holy Spirit will not ask us to do something and then leave us to do it on our own strength. We need to get the power from above. Well, a number of weeks ago, Nate and I, my son, were talking about when Jesus fed the 5,000. And he made the comment that made me think about this a lot, that these physical acts that Jesus did pointed to the infinite nature of God. If something like this were happening, if we were present somewhere and somebody would feed 5,000 people, 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, we would be amazed. The reason is we understand that when we give something away or use it, it's depleted. But in God's economy, it's not like this. When God gives something away, it multiplies. And it's this way with unconditional love as well. If we give out of our own strength, if we try to love people out of our own strength, we're going to get worn out and depleted. We're going to find ourselves with little to give. But if we give out of the strength from God, if we give the unconditional God love that God has for us to give, that kind of love multiplies. So I came across a story that while I was preparing for this, that it is an example of this. It goes like this. In a world often marked by exploitation and manipulation, there are still people whose love shines like Christ's. In Kenya, there's a man named Charles Mulley, a man many of us have never heard of. I had never heard of him. He grew up abandoned, living on the streets, but over time, he built himself up from nothing into a millionaire through hard work, entrepreneurship, and discipline. He had everything, a family, a fortune, and a future. But one day, he encountered street children just like the one he had been, homeless, hungry, and hopeless. And something inside shifted. Charles heard God speak to him, calling him to give everything away, to love these children as his own. So he sold it all. He and his wife, Esther, began to adopt, house, feed, educate, and raise children off the streets of Kenya. And over the past 30-plus years, they've raised over 26,000 children. It's known as the largest family in the world, and they haven't stopped yet. It's called Mulley Children's Family, and it's still rescuing kids today, building schools, growing food, and raising future leaders. Charles didn't love because these kids could pay him back. He didn't love because it was convenient. He loved because God first loved him. He didn't do this on his own. He did it with the help of God out of obedience. And that leads me to the next thing that I see in this story. Unconditional love is obedient. I'm really struck by what it says in verse 24 of the text. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph didn't question God. He didn't argue. He just obeyed. That's a challenge. Have you ever felt that nudge to do something and then you know that you're faced with a choice? You know what I mean? That gut feeling where you realize that God has presented you with an opportunity and now you have a choice. You can either choose to obey or choose to walk away. Well, a few months ago, I had this kind of situation. So I was on our farm the one morning, and I noticed a minivan parked by one of our buildings. Now, it's not completely out of the ordinary that a random vehicle is parked on our farm, but so I didn't think a lot of it. But when I drove by, I realized that there was exhaust coming out of the muffler. So I stopped and backed up, really with the intention just saying, like, you need to not be parked here. So I got out of my pickup, and I realized that there was a woman sleeping in the driver's seat of the car. So I went up to the passenger side window, and I knocked on the window, and she woke up and rolled down the window, and I said, hey, I'm not sure, you know, what's going on, but, you really can't be parked and sleeping here, and, you know, but so anyhow, basically have a good day. And I hopped back in my truck, and I started to leave, but something inside me said, Tony, you can't just leave. And so I backed up, and I walked up to the window and knocked on the window again, and she rolled it down. I said, do you not have a place to live? She said, no, I just lost my place to live. I said, do you have a job? She said, no, I actually just lost my job as well. Mm-hmm. But while I was talking to her, I realized now that there was also a child sleeping in the back seat of the car. So my heart was filled with compassion, and I really wanted to do something. I really wanted to help in this situation, but I didn't know what to do. So I asked her, I said, have you checked in with, you know, like Water Street or the shelters in York? She said, yeah, but it's difficult with a child and they're full and you know, whatever. I said, what about any local resources? Do you have any other place you can go? Do you have any other family, anybody you can, you know, turn to give you help? She said, no, not really. I really don't. I was out of resources. I was like a deer in the headlights. I was done. I didn't know what to do, but I couldn't. The compassion was still there, but I didn't have a solution. And by the way, she wasn't asking for help, but I felt compelled, like I needed to help. So ultimately, I said, well, hey, I really hope that something can work out. And I got in my truck and left. But I couldn't stop thinking about the situation. I actually brought it up in our Next Steps class. I thought, well, let's learn about this together because I want to be better prepared if something like this comes along. We talked about it. You know, there's no easy solutions. We had some ideas float around. The one thing that was a common thread is that we can pray. And I had been praying for her and continued to pray for her and her child. Well, a few weeks later, the minivan was there again. So I drove up next to it. She was not sleeping. She was awake. And she rolled down the window, and she's like, I'm not sleeping here. I was like, I'm not worried. That wasn't why I came here. I wanted to know. I said, were you able to find a place to stay? She said, I did. I was able to rent a room. I said, did you find a job? She said, I did. I found a job and just started a job. She said, I'm just here because there are some people that have some stuff stored there, and they had a part for her vehicle that she needed. And so I said, I was able to tell her, I'm so glad to hear that. And I've been praying for you and your child, that you would be able to find those things. So I tell you this story as an encouragement. An encouragement because even sometimes when we obey, we're not going to know what to do. I certainly didn't. I've learned a lot. Hopefully I'm better prepared for the next time. But we can always pray. And like I said before, we need to rely on the power of God to help us in these situations, because we can't do it on our own and we're not going to have all the answers. I imagine that Joseph, when he was asked by God to love Mary unconditionally, there were plenty of times in his life when he had no idea what to do and had to rely on God to give him the strength. So the last thing I see in this story about unconditional love is that unconditional love serves a higher purpose. Unconditional love serves a higher purpose. Verses 22 and 23, it says, "All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When the angel appeared to Joseph, he was made aware that what was being asked of him was way bigger than himself. God was choosing him to play a role on the arrival of the promised Messiah. He was asking him to care for pregnant Mary and to raise a child that would save the world from its sins. He understood that what God was asking of him was for a higher purpose, and he also understood that by saying yes to unconditional love, that he was going to have to trust God to give him what he needs to carry this out and provide. But by choosing to love unconditionally, by choosing to obey, by choosing to be okay with the inconvenient, Joseph was able to play a role in bringing salvation ultimately to the whole world. So earlier I asked the question, I said, how would you respond? What would you do in this type of situation? Could you make room in your life to love unconditionally the way that Joseph did for Mary and Jesus? What are the things in your life that are keeping you from being able to love unconditionally, or being able to say yes when you get that gut feeling or that nudge that you know you're supposed to respond? What takes up the room in your life? So I'm going to read over a list of things, and I just want you to think about these things in your own life as to what it may be that's cluttering out, that's taking up the room in your life. Is it time? My schedule is just too full. I'm too busy. Is it money? I need to provide. I have a mortgage. I have car payments. We need to eat. Is it relationships? These relationships are really important to me, and I need to spend time with those. Is it unforgiveness? I just can't let go. I have to hold on to this. Is it fear? I might not know what to do. Is it feeling inadequate? I'm just not enough. God could never use me in this way. Is it your reputation? What would people think? Is there anything in your life that's in the way of being able to offer the unconditional love that God has called us to? See, when God called us to follow him, he called us into a bigger plan with a greater purpose. He wants us to give away the same unconditional love that he gave us first, the same unconditional multiplying love that he gave us first. Will we respond to God's call to love unconditionally? Will we make room in our lives, even if it's messy and inconvenient? Will we make room in our hearts to give the kind of unconditional love that God wants us to? So I really, truly believe that this is where the heart of this congregation is. I really, truly believe that this congregation is a congregation that wants to give the unconditional love, the unconditional multiplying love away that God's given us. But we can't do it on our own. We need to be ready to pray. We need to trust. We need to be okay with the inconvenient or even the uncomfortable. And we need to rely on the God of multiplication to give us the strength to carry this out. So this Christmas season, as we celebrate the gift of Christ, let's open our hearts to make room to love others in the same unconditional way that Christ has already loved us. Let's pray. Worship team, come up. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your gift of unconditional love to us. We thank you for giving us the opportunity, like Joseph, to participate in your greater plan. We thank you that you loved us enough to humble yourself to, even to the point of death. Lord, open our hearts. Help us to make room. Help us to be willing to choose unconditional love when you give us the opportunity. We thank you so much, Lord, and we pray this all in your very precious name. Amen.